Will you pray with me? Lord, lead us into your truth by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. It has been said that Advent is a time of waiting, but I think it is better described as a time of watching. Waiting is all about putting in time. It's what you do when you go to the dentist's office. You know, you flip through a magazine, you pretend to read it, well, really you're wondering what all the other people are there for. That's waiting. And when you're waiting, you're usually not very excited about what is coming up. After all, it's a visit to the dentist, and you just hope that it doesn't hurt too much. That's waiting. But frequently, the scripture asks us to go beyond mere waiting. It asks us to watch, and watching is different. Watching involves waiting, but it goes beyond that. It is tinged with a mixture of longing and of hope. Watching is what Linda and I did on Friday afternoon. We drove up to the airport to greet our son and our daughter-in-law and our three grandchildren, one of whom we had not met yet. And we prepared carefully. We washed the sheets, so they're clean, Ashley. We made the spare beds. We bought the kind of chicken nuggets that the grandkids like, so we are told. We rented a vehicle that was big enough to fit all of us. We borrowed car seats. We left for the airport early. When we got there, we parked as close as we could to where they would disembark, and we were excited to see on the arrivals board that their plane had their flight was in. Very exciting. And we went to the luggage carousel where their suitcases were to be delivered, and we got the best spot. We were ahead of everybody else, and we were at the front of the line, right where the security doors open, and you could see them descending the escalator. We were right there. We were ready. And even though we were at the front, we were standing on our tiptoes, right? We were so anxious and anticipating it so much. Because when you're watching, the longing can be almost overwhelming. And another thing, watching is usually not about an end. It is about a beginning. Waiting is about getting something over with, hoping it will be ended soon. But watching is about welcoming a new beginning. And now, by the fourth Sunday in Advent, if we have let the lectionary and the liturgy do their jobs, we have now moved from waiting to watching. And our watching is filled with longing and with hope. We're longing for the beginning of the story about how God dwells among us and how he reconciles us to himself and to each other. So our gospel brings us this morning right up to that moment, right up to that beginning, right up to the luggage carousel, straining for that first glimpse of the child. And our text shows us something about what good watching looks like by introducing us to a godly man named Joseph. The first thing that we learn, or one of the first things that we learn about Joseph in Matthew's gospel, is his lineage. It's where he comes from. And I didn't have the whole genealogy read this morning because there's a lot of names in there, and I wasn't sure we could find a volunteer to read them all, if I'm being honest. But I will refer to it from time to time. It turns out that Joseph comes from a long line of watchers, and we read about them in those first 17 verses of Matthew. He can trace his lineage all the way back to the birth of the nation Israel, to Abraham. And Matthew uses this genealogy to show how what God started in Abraham all those centuries ago is finding its fulfillment now, partly through Joseph, who is Abraham's descendant. I think this reminds us that waiting requires a lot of patience. We found that at the airport. Their flight was delayed for an hour, right? Waiting requires some, and watching requires some patience. God does not act impulsively. He acts in his own time. Matthew's genealogy reminds us that the birth of Jesus has been in the works since the very beginning. And so you read this list of 46 names spread over 42 generations, and you realize that God's plan of redemption was exquisitely crafted with infinite care. And you also realize that you can't be a good watcher without patience. Joseph's ancestors had lived with a sense of hopeful longing for centuries. We also learn that good watchers stay ready. They stay alert. And this is crucial because it allows them to adjust themselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. What does this even mean? Well, let's consider the example of Joseph. When it became clear to Joseph that Mary was pregnant, there were probably only two reasonable courses of action available to him as a devout Jewish man. He could have divorced her publicly, or he could divorce her quietly. You may be wondering why the need for divorce when they were engaged. They weren't married. What's up with that? Well, they weren't really engaged. They were betrothed. And Jewish betrothal is a lot different than our Western engagement. In Jewish culture, the betrothal period was legally binding. The couple was, for all intents and purposes, legally married, but they did not live together, and marital relations were forbidden. But they were completely committed, just as much as if their marriage had already been consummated. So it says something really good about Joseph that despite Mary's pregnancy, despite the hurt that he must have been sure that Mary had caused him, he did not want to subject her to public ridicule. He did not want to shame her. He did not want to drag her through the religious courts. Even after such a disappointment, he was not torn up with rage or a desire for revenge. Instead, he sets about to divorce her quietly with just a couple of witnesses looking on as the law of the time allowed. We're not looking at a cad here. We're looking at a good man in Joseph. And then he has this dream. And the angel tells him what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And Matthew really wants us to get this bit about the Holy Spirit because he repeats it twice. He says it in verse 18. He says it again in verse 20. Now, let's try this. Let's imagine for a moment that you are Joseph. You're trying to do the right thing. You're committed to keeping the law as it has been taught to you. And then God flips everything upside down. He says, Joseph, you can't divorce her quietly. Take Mary to be your wife. Stay with her. And the sign that Joseph really was a devout man is that he somehow managed to hear that and to obey that. And here for Joseph, and here for all of us, is a lesson in the unpredictability of God. Now, before anyone starts stacking firewood for my heresy trial, I see our Dominican brother is here. Let me explain what I mean by unpredictability of God. Let me affirm that God is unchanging. He is what theologians call immutable. And that means that God is reliable. But that does not mean that God is predictable. Because as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. And so God often surprises us, especially with his mercy. God is unpredictable to us because he is beyond us. So I have noticed that I am good at hearing the voice of God when it happens to line up with what I want to do anyway. I am often guilty of a sort of spiritual confirmation bias. That is, I quickly obey God's voice when I hear it telling me to do what I was already planning. But the real test of our watchfulness is when God asks us to do something that we were not planning, something that interrupts our agenda but serves his great mercy. And this is what he asks of Joseph. That is what watching entails, being alert for the work of the Spirit and being willing to adjust to it accordingly. The coming kingdom of God can ask of us difficult things in the service of the mercy of God. And Matthew has already been subtly reminding us that God has been surprising people for centuries with his mercy before Joseph arrived on the scene. I'm going to jump back to the genealogy just prior to our passage. There are five women who are mentioned here. It is somewhat rare for a woman to be mentioned at all in an ancient genealogy, especially in a paternalistic culture. But here we have five of them in the same genealogy: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and of course, Mary. We don't have time to get into all their stories in any detail, but I will do something that I don't normally recommend in the interest of time. Google them, all right? It's not typically a proper Bible study method, but it'll work in this case. Google them. Familiarize yourself with these women and their amazing stories. The short version is that none of these are the ones most of us would expect God to choose and to use. None of them would be expected in the lineage of the Messiah. All of these women were, in some sense, spiritual outsiders, some of their own choice, others through no fault of their own. But God uses them anyway. And here is a reminder that when the Holy Spirit works, He has a way of unsettling our categories, and that means we must be alert. That means that we must watch. What are we watching for? We're watching for evidence of God's mercy in small and ordinary ways. We're watching for opportunities to make peace. We're watching for opportunities to be generous. We're watching for opportunities to bring justice. We're watching for redemptive moments. We're watching so that we can wrap our lives around God's mercy and somehow help to usher in His kingdom. Now, like a trip to the airport to pick up family, it will require some preparation on our part. That preparation starts as we encounter Christ in word and sacrament. So congratulations, you've already started by being here this morning. In word and sacrament, we acquaint ourselves with Christ's nature, with His character, so that we can recognize His mercy. Like a trip to the airport to pick up family, it will require patience. The flight may be delayed. The work of the kingdom does not happen quickly. Like a trip to the airport to pick up family, it will require attention and anticipation. We must learn to watch for the kingdom of God on our tiptoes. And finally, like a trip to the airport to pick up family, it may not always be convenient. It may require us to do some things that we don't enjoy in the service of God's greater kingdom. But, like a trip to the airport to pick up family, it will always, always be worth it. Thanks be to God.